as a high school student, God, I was that nerdy kid who, I read the New York Times on the school bus every single day on the way to school. I had a round trip commute of 3 hours every day, so I was up at 5:30 in the morning and I was on the school bus by 6:30 to get to school at 8. And so I did a lot of reading. I was reading the New York Times. I had 1 year where I carried the complete works of Shakespeare to school every day. But that said, I was really interested in history, I was really interested in politics, I was really interested in literature. The whole time I knew I wanted to do physics. And so I pursued that vigorously. When my high school ran out of math classes, I taught myself calculus for 2 years. When I ran out of science classes, I taught myself advanced placement physics. And I was very, I think, ardent in my pursuit of probably all of my interests. And that was probably, if you ask people who are around me, that would probably be a defining characteristic. '93, I guess, seems to be a year where it came at me from a lot of different angles. I was in fifth grade and my teachers decided that they were going to mix it up and have us do electives, and one of the electives that we could do is a science elective. And so I chose to do that and got really interested in physical science. We learned a little bit about how planes fly and about pressure under and over the wings, and I was really interested in that. And then I think the really defining thing for me was my mom took me to see Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time. It was a documentary about Stephen Hawking. And I went in, I whined the whole way we were driving there, and I didn't want to go, and I thought this was really stupid, and it was an independent film, and who goes to see independent films? Uncool people go see independent films, and it wasn't even a real movie, it was a documentary, and those are boring. And somewhere in the middle, they were talking about black holes, and they were talking about how relativity broke down. And I realized this is a question that I could answer. I think on a regular basis, I am having discussions with the cosmology research group, or I'm talking to my advisor, and we're just sitting around thinking about, oh, well, could this idea work? And we're looking at the equations and seeing if we have an idea that's consistent with what we know about how physics works. And I regularly, I would say at least like once a week, stop and say, oh my God, I can't believe this is what I get to do all day. And that's just the coolest thing ever, that I get to do that all day long. I'm not sure I have a good answer to this question. I do know the truth is that throughout the ages, women and men have been scientists. It's something we do. And so I think the real thing is, if you're asking why science matters, you have to ask why it matters to be human. Because I think science is something that humans do. We will have people who will wake up and say, I'm really interested in why that constellation is now to my right when a couple of months ago it was to my left, and I'm looking in the same direction that I was a few months ago. And people ask those questions. And so at a very fundamental level, I think that's just what we do as human beings. We ask questions, and then some of us start asking more questions than other people do and get even more deep into it. And that's how you get the Newtons of the world and the Einsteins of the world. You get Newton who's sitting around going, okay, well, how do things fall? And then suddenly he's not only thinking about how things fall, but he's invented an entire branch of mathematics that we now use to describe everything from psychology and sociology and economics to the expansion of the universe. My advice is not to get discouraged. Doing anything that involves achievement is hard. Writing a book is hard. Solving equations is hard. Even to the brilliant people, it's hard. Einstein spent many years thinking about the things that he came up with. There were 10 years between special relativity and general relativity, and 10 years and a lot of help. He asked a lot of mathematicians for help, and they often don't get enough credit. So it's easy to feel stupid. It's very easy to feel like you're not intelligent, like you're not good enough. And it's easy to look around and think the people around you are doing this better. It's easy for me to look around and say, hey, my office mate looks like he's working harder than me today. But who knows, my office mate might be looking at the math book, but he might be thinking about something completely different. And the point is that we're all human. We all do that. And it's easy to become discouraged by your humanity. And I think that is completely the opposite of how we should be thinking about it. I think the fact that even as we engage with science and try and be rational and logical, the fact that we are emotional and artistic is a crucial component of how we become scientists and how we become good scientists.